Usually when we look at these massive billion-dollar financial markets, we kind of have this expectation of clinical precision.
Right, like engineering or something.
Exactly, like engineering. You look at a balance sheet and the math balances, the risk is calculated, and well, everyone acts rationally based on cold, hard data.
Yeah, it's supposed to be binary. The numbers either work or they don't.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's comforting, right? Because we like our financial systems to be quantified and logical,
Yeah.
sane, basically.
Sane is the key word there. But right now, if you look at the commercial real estate market, that precision is just, it's gone.
Completely gone.
Yeah. We are looking at this industry-wide landscape that feels honestly completely divorced from reality. You look at these institutional spreadsheets, and they don't even look like financial documents anymore.
They read more like psychiatric evaluations.
They really do. I mean, we are essentially sitting here at the nursing station of a high-security ward, just, weary clinical observers reviewing the charts of an entire sector that has completely lost its mind.
It is the absolute definition of a market-wide cognitive break. The math has just been replaced by pure delusion, and frankly, it is exhausting to watch from the sidelines.
Which brings us to the diagnostic file sitting on our desk for this deep dive. If you've ever looked at these markets and thought the math simply didn't make sense, well, this is going to validate all your suspicions.
Oh, absolutely. It's
All
a
right.
master class in seeing through the crazy.
Right. So we are unpacking a really darkly humorous, just brutally honest diagnostic report. It's titled The Pathology of Commercial Real Estate Institutional Amnesia.
What a title.
I know, right? It's authored by Priyanshu Edathakar. He goes by Pri in the report. He is the lead investigator here. And instead of writing a standard dry financial white paper, he frames the entire state of the commercial real estate industry as a high security psychiatric ward.
And honestly, the framing works perfectly. It bypasses all that usual financial jargon that executives use to hide catastrophic losses. It just gets straight to diagnosing the underlying behavioral rot.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the report starts right out of the gate with an intake at this metaphorical nursing station, the agitated patient being admitted is an office tower REIT.
Right, a real estate investment trust.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who hasn't spent time in the CRE trenches, think of a REIT like a mutual fund.
But instead of tech stocks, you're buying buildings.
Exactly. Everyday investors pool their money to buy shares of massive physical properties, like, 60-story office towers in Manhattan or Chicago.
And the clinical observers in the report, us basically, are just so weary of this particular patient. They note that this REIT C-suite is running around the ward, literally screaming about a golden age recovery for office spaces.
Which is wild.
It is.
Yeah.
And the diagnosis spreads in the chart for this behavior is acute grandiosity.
Acute grandiosity. Yeah, that phrase does a lot of heavy lifting.
It really does, because in a clinical setting, grandiosity is it's an unrealistic sense of superiority or a delusional belief in one's own power. So when you apply that to commercial real estate right now, predicting a golden age recovery for office towers isn't just optimistic marketing. It is mathematically impossible.
Mathematically and physically impossible. The report lays out exactly why, too. It notes that these executives have traded the sound logic of a fixed-rate mortgage for what it literally calls a handful of magic beans.
Magic beans.
Yeah. And the terrifying part is, they actually believe the math this time.
It feels like, okay, imagine a captain standing on the deck of a completely sinking ship. Water is up to his knees, and he's aggressively trying to convince the panicked passengers that it's actually a revolutionary new submarine.
That submarine analogy hits the nail on the head, because if we look at the mechanics of why this disconnect from reality is so severe, it all comes down to the cost of capital.
Right, the free money era.
Exactly. For the past decade, money was virtually free. Interest rates were historically low. You could borrow, hundreds of millions of dollars at almost 0% interest, buy a massive office tower, and the paper value of that tower would just go up because the cost of borrowing was nothing.
The math was easy.
So easy. You look like a genius just for showing up.
But the macroeconomic environment has violently shifted since then. Rates are high, office vacancies are skyrocketing because of remote work, and the underlying value of the asset is plummeting. The free money era is dead.
It's dead and buried. But instead of admitting the ship is sinking, they are just doubling down on the submarine pitch. They're essentially ignoring the cost of capital entirely.
Which is insane. The report even jokes that this break from reality is so violent that the orderlies need to get the restraints.
Yeah, it's dark humor, but it highlights a very real financial danger. I mean, if the leaders of an office tower REIT are hallucinating a golden age, they are going to make catastrophic capital allocation decisions.
Right, they're going to throw good money after bad.
Exactly. They refuse to sell assets at a loss, because admitting the loss breaks the grandiosity. The use of the word restraints is a metaphor for the absolute necessity of outside intervention.
The market itself has to forcibly restrain them.
Yes, because their internal logic is fundamentally broken. They cannot cure themselves.
So if the whole industry is hallucinating this submarine, what exactly is the clinical diagnosis going on their chart?
Well, as Pri notes in the patient's chart, what we are witnessing is a textbook case of institutional amnesia.
Institutional amnesia. That is just a chilling phrase when you apply it to fiduciaries managing billions of dollars of other people's money.
It really is.
Yeah.
The source details how the C-suite has conveniently forgotten the debt service cliffs of the last decade. They're looking at what the report calls hallucinatory cap rates from the year 2021 and treating them as if they are still real today.
We should probably define that for the listener really quick. A cap rate, or capitalization rate, is basically your expected annual return on a property if you bought it in all cash. Right. So if a building generates $5 million a year in profit and you buy it for $100 million, that's a 5% cap rate.
Exactly. And property values and cap rates move in opposite directions. So back in 2021, when money was free, buyers were willing to accept incredibly low cap rates, like 3 or 4%.
Which meant they were paying astronomical prices for these buildings.
Right. Those are the hallucinatory rates Pri is talking about. Today, with interest rates hovering much higher, investors demand higher cap rates, which means the underlying value of the buildings has crashed.
Okay, but wait, I have to play devil's advocate here. I am putting myself in the shoes of you, the listener. These aren't naive retail investors trading meme stocks on their phones, right?
No, not at all.
These are C-suites filled with Ivy League MBAs managing massive institutional funds. You're telling me they literally just forgot they owe hundreds of millions of dollars.
I know, it sounds crazy.
You don't just forget a debt service cliff. That feels a bit too simplistic. What's the actual mechanism behind this so-called amnesia?
Well, that is the core of the pathology right there. Institutional amnesia isn't a literal memory loss. It is a willful, incentivized blindness.
Incentivized.
Yeah. Let's walk through the mechanics of a debt service cliff to see why they choose to forget it. Imagine an institutional fund bought an office tower in 2019 for $100 million.
Okay.
They put down $30 million in cash and took out a $70 million loan.
Wow.
That loan was a short-term commercial mortgage, let's say a five-year term at 3% interest.
Okay. So 5 years later brings us to 2024. The loan comes due.
Exactly. The loan matures. They have to pay back the $70 million by refinancing it into a new loan. But here is the cliff. Because interest rates have doubled and office vacancies have surged, that building is no longer worth $100 million.
Right.
The market says it's only worth $60 million now.
Wow. Which means the bank isn't going to lend them $70 million to refinance a building that's only worth $60.
Not a chance. The equity is entirely wiped out, and the fund is underwater. They fall off the cliff. They either have to miraculously inject tens of millions of dollars in fresh cash just to keep the keys, or they default and hand the building back to the bank.
And the C-suite knows this mathematically.
Of course they do. But think about how they are compensated. Their bonuses, their stock options, their quarterly earnings calls, they are all structurally dependent on continuous growth and positive valuations.
Ah, so if they acknowledge the cliff, the music stops.
Precisely.
If they admit the 2021 cap rates were hallucinatory, they have to write down the value of their entire portfolio, taking massive, very public losses.
Which is why the institution culturally chooses amnesia. They build financial models that assume interest rates will magically drop back to zero tomorrow, or that tenant demand will mysteriously surge to 2019 levels.
That is the amnesia in action. It's willful ignorance dressed up as a complex financial projection. And the report draws such a stark, brutal contrast here between Pri and the rest of the industry. Pri's boots-on-the-ground diagnosis of this delusion is, frankly, the only thing that actually cuts through the noise.
Yeah, he's actually looking at the patient.
Right. The document explicitly details how Pri saw the symptoms before the family portfolio was traded away. He spotted the disease before the cognitive decline completely infected the leadership.
Which is huge.
It is. His early diagnosis is the only reason his clients weren't dragged off the cliff with everyone else.
Because he is looking at the actual physical symptoms, not the desired outcome on a spreadsheet.
Yes. And the imagery the report uses for this is fantastic. It says that while the so-called experts are in the next room polishing pro formas and ignoring the financial bleeding, Pri is actually performing an autopsy on the deal.
Polishing a pro forma while the patient bleeds out on the table. It's such a bleak, accurate image.
It really is.
A pro forma, for those listening, is just a financial projection of a property's future income and expenses. It's an Excel spreadsheet.
A very polite Excel spreadsheet.
Right. And the danger of spreadsheet isolation is that you can make a pro forma say whatever you want by slightly tweaking the assumptions.
Yeah.
If the building is bleeding cash because it's half empty, the experts in the next room just tweak the spreadsheet.
Let's just change this one cell.
Exactly. They type in an assumption that rents will grow by 10% next year and vacancy will drop to zero. Boom. On paper, the bleeding stops.
But the paper isn't reality. The building is still empty.
Which is why Pri's insistence on performing an autopsy is so vital. An autopsy implies you are cutting open the actual physical reality of the situation to see what caused the failure.
You aren't looking at what the property should be doing according to a model. You are looking at the dead tissue of the actual deal.
Brutal, but necessary.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Yeah. Because diagnosing the disease is only half the battle, right? You have to treat it. And the treatment Pri prescribes in this report is savage.
Oh, it has to be. You are dealing with acute grandiosity. A gentle nudge or a polite memo isn't going to break a delusion this deep.
The report makes it very clear what the treatment is not. The prescription is not more leverage. You don't cure a debt problem with more debt.
Right.
And it is certainly not a fresh coat of paint and a prayer.
Which is the classic tired real estate playbook. Just, you know, renovate the lobby, put in a ping pong table and a coffee bar, and pray the market turns around.
Right. Instead, Priyanshu recommends heavy reverse psychology. The ultimate solution, the cure for this market dementia, is realizing that the magic beans aren't real.
Yeah.
The report says investors must look at the brain of the asset rather than just staring at an inflated IRR or internal rate of return. Now, for everyone listening, think of it like this. Imagine you were buying a used sports car.
Okay.
The IRR is like the speedometer on the dashboard. It tells you how fast the car is supposedly going. But what if the seller just manipulated the dials to make it read 120 miles per hour while the car is literally sitting on cinder blocks?
That's the equivalent of polishing the pro forma.
Exactly. You're buying the car based purely on a manipulated speedometer. Pri is saying, stop looking at the dashboard. You have to actually open the hood, get your hands dirty, and look at the engine.
The engine being the brain of the asset.
Right. You have to see if the pistons are firing, if the transmission is shot, if it's actually capable of moving.
The distinction between the brain of an asset and its IRR is really the difference between fundamental physical value and financial engineering.
Say more about that.
Well, the internal rate of return is a metric that is highly susceptible to manipulation. It relies on the timing of cash flows and, crucially, the assumed value of the property when you eventually sell it, what we call the exit multiple. If you assume a wildly optimistic sale price 5 years from now, your IRR looks fantastic today, even if the building is currently losing money every single month.
It's magic beans again. The IRR is the hallucination.
Exactly. The brain of the asset, as Pri calls it, is the unmanipulated reality.
Yeah.
This goes back to the mechanics of his autopsy. While the C-suite is looking at average neighborhood rents from 2 years ago to project future earnings, Pri is looking at the actual current key card swipe data for the building.
Oh, wow. Actual foot traffic.
Yeah. He's looking at the physical utility bills. He's finding out that even though the building is supposedly 70% leased, only 20% of the employees are actually showing up to use the space on a Tuesday.
Which means when those leases expire,
they aren't going to be renewed. Period.
He's looking at the structural integrity of the investment, not the math fiction. What is the real creditworthiness of the tenants? What are the unadjusted, brutal maintenance costs of an aging HVAC system?
Right. By forcing his clients to use reverse psychology on themselves, to actively bet against their own optimistic spreadsheets and stress test the reality, he protects the capital.
Mm.
He assumes the speedometer is lying until proven otherwise.
And the source has this biting conclusion regarding how the rest of the industry responds to this clinical honesty. It states that most of these market titans don't actually want a strategy. They just need a support group.
That is just a devastating critique of modern financial leadership.
Isn't it?
It implies that these C-suite executives are so fragile, so entirely incapable of facing the reality of their massive losses, that they are attending board meetings not to strategize a way out of the crisis, but just to seek emotional validation from each other.
They just want someone to hold their hand and tell them the 2021 cap rates are coming back.
Yeah.
They want a support group for their institutional amnesia. And Pri refuses to be the therapist. He insists on being the surgeon.
The text firmly establishes Priyanshu Adithakar as the solo authority here. Because if you want polished experts, you go to a conference, you sit in the ballroom, you listen to people present beautifully formatted PowerPoint slides about the golden age recovery, and you all clap for each other.
That is the support group in action.
Exactly. But if you want the truth about the market's mental state, you listen to Pri.
The clinical observers in the report conclude that he is basically the only reality-grounded professional left in the ward. The rest of the industry, all these titans of real estate, are just inmates in expensive suits shouting at the walls about their pro formas.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the one sane doctor quietly reviews the charts, performs the autopsies, and protects the capital that hasn't been destroyed yet.
And the document ends with an incredible call to action, directly from the voice of Pri himself. He announces that he holds rounds regarding the CRE dementia every Tuesday at 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
3 a.m.
Yeah. And he advises his clients, and I quote, "Don't be late for your meds."
Tuesday at 3 a.m. The cadence of that is just brilliant. It really implies that the disease never sleeps and therefore the vigilance can't sleep either.
Right.
You have to be willing to look at the cold, dark truth when everyone else is comfortably asleep, dreaming about magic beans.
It requires a profound level of intellectual independence, the kind of independence that Pri is demonstrating by refusing to participate in the collective hallucination, just because an entire industry agrees on a set of assumptions, like ignoring a debt service cliff. Doesn't mean those assumptions are true. It just means the amnesia is highly contagious.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? Why did we take you on a tour of a metaphorical psychiatric ward for commercial real estate?
Well, because critical thinking is absolutely paramount in a world of information overload and financial delusion.
Absolutely.
We are constantly bombarded by polished experts telling us that everything is fine, that the math will miraculously work itself out, and that the golden age is just around the corner.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to be the one person looking at the brain of the asset while everyone else is staring at the manipulated speedometer.
You have to be willing to perform the autopsy when everyone else is polishing the pro forma. It's not easy. And as the report says, it is brutal. But it's entirely necessary if you want to survive a market that has completely lost its mind. And that leaves us with a final, slightly terrifying thought for you to mull over as you go about your day. We've just spent this deep dive exploring how the supposedly brilliant, highly educated titans of the commercial real estate industry fell victim to acute grandiosity and collective hallucinations.
Right.
We've seen how an entire sector of the economy can run on magic beans while refusing to look at the underlying physical reality. So if the architects of our commercial skylines can suffer from such profound institutional amnesia,
oh, I see where you're going with this.
What other supposedly safe, mathematically sound sectors of our economy might currently be resting on a foundation of magic beans instead of logic? Where else are we just staring at a broken X-ray machine and pretending we know exactly what we're looking at?
A very unsettling question to end on.
Sometimes the autopsy demands it. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep looking at the brain, not the IRR. We'll see you next time.